Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. What an entertaining day of football yesterday with some positive New York football stories, with both the Jets and the Giants finding ways to win in different fashions, and just all sorts of excitement around the league. Great games, great finishes, miraculous finishes. And after navigating my way here through a car fire at 4:30 in the morning on the LIE, I am ready to talk some football, Boomer. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Yesterday was Insanity Sunday, man. It was all over the place. In the 1 o'clock windows, there were great games. The late games were great. Last night's game, if you haven't heard, the Bears showed up as the monsters of the Midway. Man. They were all over the Rams in a freezing cold game that the Rams didn't look like they wanted to play in. And Khalil Mack and that defense just got after their ass. So with the miracle in Miami, with Pittsburgh's meltdown at the end of the game and Big Ben's drama coming into the game, Sam Darnold doing what he did at the end of the game, and Todd Bowles doing the absolute right thing, going for it, even if they didn't make it, you go for it. I mean, what are you sitting here playing for ties? You're playing for overtime? No, you do exactly what Todd Bowles did. And then, of course, Saquon Barkley and Sam Darnold, when you think about it, you got the second and third overall picks in the draft, and they both really shined yesterday. So it was, I think it was a win for the fans of both of those teams. Now, I know there's also the cynical side. It says, oh, you're dropping in the draft and all that other stuff. Hey, you don't worry about that. When you are out there on the field, you want to win as a player. And I'm glad that Sam Darnold had to go through what he went through yesterday, felt what it like meant to win a game late in the game and make key throws and key plays, diving for the goal line, you know, even in a game that essentially doesn't matter. All of those things are the things that I want him to feel and to experience. So when he comes back next year, he's going to feel a lot better and a lot more comfortable. And, of course, Saquon Barkley just, again, is brilliant. He just shows you why that everybody knew that he was the best running back on the board and is a surefire, I believe it looks like, offensive rookie of the year. So, at the end of the day, both young players for their respective teams played really well yesterday. They both won. I can't remember the last time we were here in this situation talking about it. But I couldn't have been happier for both of those players.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot going into these weeks with the Jets and Giants. Boy, they really can't lose this game, or boy, would it be nice if they did this. And both those things happen. I mean, we said, wouldn't it be nice if Sam Darnold was able to come back and play and win a game and show you something late in the game? And that was able to happen. I mean, but the Giants was, you can't lose to a Mark Sanchez-led team in a situation like this where you're playing better. And neither one of those things did happen. So, you know, Sam Darnold going out in this game and limping off the field, I'm thinking this can't get any worse for the New York Jets. But he comes back and he plays well. And in that play that he made where he rolled out to his right, then rolled back to his left and found Robbie Anderson in the end zone for that touchdown, was one of those plays that you wanted to see from Sam, because everybody else was doing stuff like that. We talked about it going into the game. Baker Mayfield making plays all over the place. Lamar Jackson winning games for the Ravens. Josh Rosen going into Lambeau and winning games. And all these things that were going on with these other quarterbacks. Josh Allen running around like a crazy person. He was doing it again yesterday. So you wanted a moment like that for Sam at the end of this year. You got one, and hopefully there's a couple more in the next 3 games.
Well, and that it also dissipates some of the negative articles and the sniping that's going on between front office and coaching staff and all that other stuff. So that helps. It kind of relieves some of the pressure. And then for Pat Shurmur, all he really cares about, I don't care if I'm playing against Mark Sanchez or Chase Daniel or whoever. It doesn't matter. Just as long as we win games and continue to win games. And, you know, they're ahead of where they were last year, which is, I think, a small consolation. But nonetheless, I'm sure when Pat comes on with Mike later on today that, you know, things are going to be fine, you know, that he's going to feel a lot better about, you know, his team today than he did 3 weeks ago, you know. So all of it's good, and Saquon Barkley is amazing. Sam Darnold did exactly what I think we were hoping we were going to see. And again, you know, you watch Josh Allen run all over the place. He's not ready. Lamar Jackson running all over the place yesterday. He's not ready. But Baker Mayfield looking like he is ready.
Yeah.
And Josh Rosen struggling yesterday against the Detroit defense. So, hey, at the end of the day, they're all learning. They're all on you know, learning under fire, which is great. But, man, I don't know what was more – I guess the most incredible play, obviously, is what happened in Miami.
Oh, fully, without a doubt.
No, yeah, but when you watch the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's going to talk about that fourth down, of course.
You have the fourth and nine, whatever it was, and it was just, that was incredible.
They scored their touchdown on a fourth down, too.
Right, and then you also watch the no-look pass that everybody is watching today. If you haven't seen it, just Google Pat Mahomes' no-look pass versus the Ravens, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. His college coach, Cliff Kingsbury, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, came out. You know, Cliff had gotten fired from Texas Tech and now is the offense coordinator for USC. He basically came out and said, you know, everything that you're seeing in the NFL, I've seen at Texas Tech, but what you haven't seen just yet is the no-look pass. And the no-look pass showed up yesterday in their game against the Ravens. And the great thing about Patrick Mahomes yesterday, he literally got the crap beat out of him. He got the living crap beat out of him, and he stood in there, and he played, and he did not get jumpy, didn't get antsy. His feet were flat, firmly planted on the ground. You could see the poise. You could see the toughness. You could see all of that. And that's why I do believe that he sewed up the MVP yesterday.
Yeah, that was a rewind play. You had to rewind and look back at the no-look pass, but especially that fourth down was just an unbelievable play. And then to throw across his body in the way that he did is something that only he can do.
Well, that's arm talent. That's what they call arm talent. And he knows where he's throwing it. You know, that was the play that Josh Allen had last week or 2 weeks ago against the Miami Dolphins.
Sure.
Where he underthrew Charles Clay, his tight end.
Yep.
So it was the same type of throw. He also had another throw that was down the left sideline. I think it was at the end of the first half where he hit Spencer Ware.
Yep.
It was like a dart between like four players. And I have no idea how the ball got to Spencer Ware, but it hit him right in the gut. And that's where he went down the sideline and then hurt his shoulder, but then came back later on in the game, Spencer Ware. But Patrick Mahomes continues to amaze. It really does. And I even with the three games left and other players playing well, I think yesterday was the seal of approval for his MVP. I mean, what he's doing on the field is ridiculous.
Yeah, right. It's stuff you really haven't seen either is the other thing. And it makes you think about a comparison. You know, when we talk about, I've never seen a guy who's able to run around like that and then throw the ball that far, that hard. And then you think about, all right, Michael Vick. But Michael Vick also couldn't stand in the pocket and make the throws that Patrick Mahomes is doing right now.
Maybe Cam Newton is MVP year?
Yeah, sure. Cam Newton was the best player in football that year, hands down. He was awesome. But, you know, with his, if you take a look at the way that Patrick Mahomes throws the football, the way Cam Newton throws a football, there's still a little bit more of a wow factor with Patrick Mahomes, the velocity of it. You know, that deep ball is as pretty as it gets. I'd have to look back at Cam Newton's interceptions those years.
Right.
But
how about Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, but all these guys are great, and I don't want to say I'm knocking them. There's just a different thing about Patrick Mahomes when he throws the football because it's faster than I've ever seen. You know, some of those Michael Vick throws, sure, but they were erratic. The accuracy left you something to be desired. To me, with Patrick Mahomes, it's the speed, it's the accuracy, and the throwing on the run with the velocity is stuff that I really haven't seen. Velocity and accuracy.
So you know what? When you watch him play, like, you don't see any panic in his game.
Mm-hmm.
Like yesterday at the beginning of the game, I saw, you know, you saw a little panic on behalf of Sam Darnold. A little like his legs were really spread wide and he's trying to throw the ball and he's trying to hurry up. And all of that stuff is because he hasn't played in 4 weeks. But that's all the stuff he's got to get out of his game. And the only way he's going to get that out of his game is to continue to play and continue to experience, you know, the pressure that he was under yesterday. So, hey, look, he's going to play Houston this week. It's going to be a Saturday game. He'll face a very good defense, and he'll face a defense that is going to be coming off of a loss and a defense in which, you know, Andrew Luck pretty much picked apart yesterday. So there are big plays that can be made in the secondary against the Houston Texans, assuming he has time to make plays or at least extend plays and continue to, you know, grow on that part of the game as well. Because we saw that yesterday for him. And it was nice to see Robbie Anderson reemerge, as a legitimate target down the field. So I don't want to get crazy about, they're ready and all this other stuff, but it's just a really good step, and it was something that was nice to see.
Yeah, and the Giants have a shot at making the playoffs still. It's crazy to think, but the Giants do, if they win out, because the way that the NFC is and no one really wants to take charge, I mean, they actually have a shot. And someone sent me this morning, a path to the Giants getting a wild card that isn't all that crazy. So, I mean, I know we laugh. I know that the chances of them being able to do this are, basically slim and none. But, hey, if you put Green Bay into the in-the-hunt playoff picture at 5-7-1, you're telling me you can't put the Giants in there at 5-8? Just throw them in there, right? Throw them in there. They're not mathematically eliminated yet. So if they end up winning out, I think that would actually be a good thing for them, because to think about having a 1-7 start then ending 7-1, you would end up taking that, because, I mean, really, what's the difference now between draft picks if you go 7-9, 8-8, 6-10, maybe a couple of spots?
The coaches and players, especially the coaches for the Giants, they want to keep winning. They're not going anywhere. Nobody's getting fired there and all that other stuff. I think for the coaches of the Jets, they want to show the rest of the league that their team is still playing for them and they still have a good message. So if the Jets decide to make a decision, I think that we all think has already been made, that these coaches can go get jobs elsewhere, which they will. I will say yesterday, the biggest thing that happened in the playoff run, or the playoff hunts, if you will, is the fact that New Orleans now is the number one seed by virtue of L.A. losing yesterday or last night to the Bears. And nothing really has changed on the AFC side of the ledger. The only thing that really happened yesterday in the AFC side of the ledger of significance is actually two things. One is that Kansas City, who plays this Thursday night against San Diego, can lose that game to San Diego and still remain in the one seed. Nothing's going to change that. So they got a little breathing room by virtue of beating Baltimore yesterday. You have the Patriots and the Steelers playing next week. And the Steelers have lost, what, 3 in a row, I think?
Yeah, that's right, 3 in a row. It was right. Denver, L.A., and then yesterday to the Raiders.
And Baltimore is at 7-6. They're a half game behind the 7-5-1 Steelers. So they are number 6 in the 6th seed. Essentially, the Chargers have locked up the 5 seed right now. And all of a sudden, the Colts are 7-6. They're in the 7th seed, so they're back into the picture by virtue of beating Houston yesterday. But everybody else stayed the same. I mean, 1-6 is the same as we started yesterday morning. Some of that stuff would have changed had maybe Kansas City lost, and Pittsburgh and Houston and the New England Patriots all would have won. Then that would have made Thursday night's game very interesting, because the Chargers did win yesterday. But when you have the Houston Texans leading their division, losing to a division foe at home. You have the Patriots losing at Miami again. For some reason, Miami's got their number. And Pittsburgh losing out in Oakland. Those are all three division winners that lost yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, and that was a play for the ages. And the fact that something like that worked at the end of the game, of course, everybody was talking about it yesterday. The Miami miracle and seeing Kenyon Drake break loose there. I believe Ian Eagle was on the call. And as soon as they start doing the laterals, he goes, "Oh, that'll do it." And then all of a sudden, boom, there goes Kenyon Drake. And you've got just an absolutely spectacular finish. And most people, see, you're either a Patriot fan or you hate the Patriots, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
They're one of those organizations. The Cowboys are one of those ways too. The Lakers, teams like that. So there was just this collective celebration. You didn't have to be a Dolphins fan to enjoy the hell out of that one.
It was amazing. I was telling Eddie, our resident Dolphin fan who came in here with the big, giant, enormous smile on his face this morning, that a number of things happened yesterday. Number one, the Patriots' run defense was horrendous. Mm-hmm. Number two, at the end of the first half, Tom Brady mishandles a play and then basically eschews a potential chip shot field goal. Steven Gostkowski misses an extra point and a chip shot field goal. So you had all three of those things kind of wrapped up into that final play, where Gronkowski's on the field because they're thinking that it's going to be a Hail Mary when they're really not close enough to pull off a Hail Mary. So why is he on the field? Why isn't Devin McCourty out there? Or why isn't a faster player like Cordarrelle Patterson out there to make a play, as opposed to a big 6'7" stiff standing on the 5-yard line?
Who can't move any longer.
Yeah, and slips to go try to make a tackle. Could you imagine what he must have felt like watching Kenyon Drake running at him.
Oh, no shot.
Shot to make this tackle.
Right. He probably went and ate a Tide Pod.
So what, you know, as I was telling Eddie this morning, Eddie, you can enjoy the playoffs, you know, and watch the Patriots, you know, win another division here before too long. But it's
Have that moment.
They'll always have that moment, yes.
Right. It's just one of those things. One of those things that losing franchises, you get a couple moments like that every now and then. Yeah, you're not winning Super Bowls. You're not getting to Super Bowls. But you get a moment like that every now and then just to keep you happy enough.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.